All right, anticholinergic toxicity. There's a mnemonic you can use to remember those symptoms. So dry as a bone, because they've got dry mouth and they've got dry skin. Hot as a hair, because they can't sweat. Blind as a bat, because they can't see. Mad as a hatter, because they're loony. And then one of the things we have to do is try and determine, is it because they're just demented, or is it because of a drug that we're giving them? So the treatment, what we want to do is minimize absorption, and if necessary, we can give a cholinesterase inhibitor, which will kind of reverse the anticholinergic effect. All right, now, atropine itself is a dose-dependent drug. What that means is, at low doses, it only affects the stuff up here. As we increase the dose, you begin to affect more and more things. Interactions. It interacts with other anticholinergic drugs to produce an even higher effect. It will be blocked by cholinesterase inhibitors, and then it can also cause anything that has anticholinergic side effects. It'll make worse, and these are some of the more common ones: phenothiazine antipsychotics. Use them in psych, but you also get Phenergan from these. So Phenergan and atropine together can cause increased side effects. Tricyclic antidepressants, not as commonly used anymore, but it can still, sometimes they use them in old patients because they've just been on them for a long time and they don't want to bother trying to switch. And then Lasix, which is a very common diuretic. All right. Next drug class, cholinesterase inhibitors. Now, cholinesterase inhibitors inhibit cholinesterase. What does cholinesterase do? Breaks down acetylcholine. So what's the end result? Okay, I think I heard dueling answers here. Who wants to be right? Okay, one said more, one said less. Who says more? Who says less? All right. Now, remember what we said in the last part of the lecture. We said that if you block breakdown, you're going to end up with more transmitter. So the more is correct. And also only two of you were, well, three of you were correct. The rest of you who abstained or voted the other way, very sorry to hear that. So cholinesterase inhibitors are going to increase the amount of acetylcholine available. Now, there's two kinds, reversible and irreversible. Now, irreversible, for the most part, are used as insecticides and in times of war as nerve gas. So if you've ever seen a movie where they use nerve gas, what that is an irreversible acetylcholinesterase inhibitor.
Not mustard gas?
Not mustard gas. That's different. Yes.
Okay.
Now, there is one that's used for glaucoma, and the only reason I put it on there is because some of you like to think that I'm not really a nursing student, I'm an attorney. And it's my job to nitpick anything you say, and I can use it against you in a court of public opinion. So, for you, because one day you're going to say, Dr. Hammond, you lied to me, you said there was no such thing, and we didn't use it. Well, okay, there is one. We use it for glaucoma. Now, the ones we need to know, though, are these two up here, the reversible ones, neostigmine and physostigmine. Neostigmine we use for myasthenia gravis. Physostigmine we use as an anticholinergic antidote. Got it? What do we use neostigmine for?
Myasthenia gravis.
Myasthenia gravis. What do we use physostigmine for?
Anticholinergic
antidote. Now, what's the difference between them chemically, you ask? Go ahead. Okay, what's the difference? So the difference is that physostigmine can penetrate the blood-brain barrier. Neostigmine can't. Neostigmine also lasts longer than physostigmine. All right, now let's talk about myasthenia gravis. So myasthenia gravis is an autoimmune disease in which your body starts to destroy its own neuromuscular junctions, its own nicotinic M receptors. Now, if you have fewer nicotinic M receptors, what do you think the symptoms of that disease are going to be?
Muscle rigidity.
Okay. So muscles are going to be weak. not going to be able to contract because you can't get enough signal to the muscle to contract. Now, if you're around someone who's a little bit hard of hearing, how do you handle that person?
Yeah.
You talk louder, right? Okay, so that's the basic treatment regimen for myasthenia gravis. If we don't have enough receptors around, what we do is we turn up the volume on the receptors that are left. And the way we do that is with a drug called neostigmine. And neostigmine works by increasing the amount of acetylcholine. So we can't increase the number of receptors, but we can turn up the volume on those receptors by making more acetylcholine available. Now, clinical manifestations of myasthenia gravis: fatigue, muscular weakness, and dyspnea. Dyspnea, shortness of breath. Dys from bad, and pnea from air, bad air, can't breathe. Now, why couldn't a person breathe very well when they have this disease? Yeah, because the muscles for breathing are being used constantly every day, and they just get a little worn out. All right, now, this disease is more common in women than in men. And one of the ways that it usually affects fairly young women. So what do you think one of the ways that they first kind of know something's wrong?
Can they do their hair?
Yeah. Can't do their hair because it's too much energy to hold their arms up above their head long enough. True story. You look at me like, uh-uh. But it's true. Now, so we treat it with neostigmine, and the side effects are basically caused by too much acetylcholinesterase, or too much acetylcholine being accumulated. Now, if we get too many side effects, what would the side effects be? What are the side effects of too much acetylcholine?
Is it? No.
It's the opposite of atropine.
Oh. So you can't sweat.
No, too much atropine. Okay, so too much sweating, too much saliva, too much urine, slow heart rate, constricted pupils. So, and the other thing is, if you give, what's the symptom of the disease?
Fatigue.
Weakness and fatigue. If you give too much acetylcholinesterase, well, as you give acetylcholinesterase, you start to get stronger. If you give too much, guess what you give it again to get again? Weakness and fatigue. So anytime you have a patient who's got myasthenia gravis and is on neostigmine and is weak and fatigued, the question is, are they too low or are they too high? How do you know?
Look at the other side effects.
So you look at the other side effects. If they've got too much saliva, if they've got too much tears, if they're having too much urine, if they're incontinent, then it's too much. If they're not having any of those things, then chances are they have
not too much.
Too little.
Yeah.
Right. Any questions about myasthenia gravis? You guys don't ask questions. Take no prisoners. All right, neuromuscular blockers. We use these to block the neuromuscular junction, to block muscarinic M receptors. Now, why would we want to do such a thing, other than really bad plots of Nip/Tuck?
For twitching?
No, we don't use them for twitching. All right, not really.
Why would you paralyze someone?
Yes, why would we paralyze someone?
Like a taser gun?
No, not like a taser gun.
Like they start freaking out and
surgery.
Okay. The major use for neuromuscular blockers is surgery, anesthesia. Now, When you give a person a neuromuscular blocker, it paralyzes the muscle. Does it make the person go unconscious?
No.
No. Which leads us to the plots of bad movies and TV shows like Nip Tuck and that other one, Awake.
With Jessica Alba.
Yes, with Jessica Alba. So the premise is that if you give a person one of these drugs, it will paralyze them, but they're not necessarily unconscious. So you can do the surgery, and they can't move, but they still will feel the pain and still be conscious.
You can't. Oh, that stinks.
Yes.
Oh, so that's why you're supposed to give them something else with it, right?
Right. So, which is why when, with anesthesia, not only do we give them muscular blocker, we also give them something to either make them unconscious or something to get rid of pain. All right, now, there's two basic types of agents, what we call non-depolarizing and depolarizing. Now, what happens when a neuromuscular junction depolarizes? I showed you a video of it.
It contracts.
Okay, it makes the muscle contract. So, a depolarizing agent will let the neuron depolarize one last time before the paralysis sets in. So, what do you think the person's going to do before they become paralyzed?
Twitch. Wait, that's for depolarizing?
That's depolarizing.
So.
The non-depolarizing doesn't allow one last depolarization. So the person will not twitch. That's the basic difference between them. There's like 10 or 12 different drugs in these classes, and I'm not going to make you remember any of them. You will need to know a few of them when you get to critical care, but that's in your senior year, so no need to worry about that for the moment. All right, so we use them for patients who are undergoing surgery, patients who are on mechanical ventilators to prevent them from fighting the ventilator, and then we also use them to prevent injury in ECT. Now, what is ECT? Electroconvulsive therapy.
They still do that?
Yes, they do. Now, in the old days, what they would do is they'd jam something in your mouth, and people would break their teeth, they'd break their jaws, they'd have all kinds of back problems and neck aches because, you know, being electrocuted in your brain caused all of these muscle spasms. So, what we do nowadays is much more civilized. We paralyze them first, then we shock their brains. And it can prevent a lot of those side effects. All right, adrenergic drugs. All right, so we are done completely with cholinergic drugs. Say yay. Now, what are the drugs that you specifically need to remember? Muscarinic? Muscarinic agonists, how many?
There's
none.
None.
Cholinergic, anticholinergic drugs?
Seven.
What's the big one?
Atropine.
And what is it used for? Lots of stuff. All right, cholinesterase inhibitors, how many are there? Two. What are they?
Neostigmine,
physostigmine. What do we use neostigmine for?
Myasthenia gravis.
What do you use physostigmine for?
Anticholinergic.
Antidote.
Oh, wait, is it
cholinergic?
Yeah.
Neuromuscular blockers, what do we use them for?
Stimulate muscle contraction.
Surgery? Ventilators?
And
ECT.
You're cheating. Whatever.
All right. And that's all we need to know for now.